Let's go to the Yankees. Oh, no. More bad news here. Here's the clip from last night.
2-2 to Torres. Bouncing ball towards the middle. Edmund with a spin and a throw. And the Dodgers dominate game three. They're a win away from a world championship. A 3-0 series lead over the Yankees.
All right, let's bring in Joe Zone, Channel 3 sports director. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I'm a little bit shocked that it's played out the way it has. Now I'm figuring they won't have to worry about going to L.A. to trick-or-treat. They can all stay home and go out with their kids on Thursday.
Right.
That's where we are.
Yeah. Sweet. You don't think they can do it tonight?
Well, I think they can do it tonight. I also thought they could do it Friday night. I thought they could do it Saturday night. I thought they could do it last night. Do I think they'll win tonight? I think they probably will. You know, everybody talks about that, you know, the Red Sox. Nobody ever in the World Series has come from four down in the World Series. The Red Sox, remember, did it in the League Championship Series. So they're in a tough spot. And everywhere you look, it's been a huge, huge fail. You know, the Yankees only have one less hit than the Dodgers in this series. One less hit, but they've struck out 34 times. Where else? There's only one guy in that team who can't score from second base on a base hit. And who's on second base when they finally do get a clutch hit? That guy. And he's thrown out at the plate last night when it was still a game and the Yankees are trying to rally. I mean, everything that's gone wrong, and the little mistakes have hurt them. The big mistakes have hurt them. Clearly, the big guys haven't hit. They're just not hitting. They're not getting the big hits. They get them too late. And clearly, in my mind, we don't get to see the Dodgers a lot. Look at them for 4, 5, 6, 7 games in a row. You can see how good they are.
Yeah, that's true. I think everybody kind of went in thinking that, you know, it was going to be the Dodgers that win it all, but we didn't think it was going to be this fast.
Yeah, you thought it might be like, you know, they trade a couple games back and forth, but no, it's just domination.
The Yankees are 4-for-20 with runners in scoring position. They've left 25 guys on base. I mean, these games have not been blowouts with the Dodgers scoring lots of runs. They're scoring four runs. They were up 3-2 the Yankees the other night in the first game. That was such a huge, huge swing. Game one, you lead, 10th inning. The big question on Boone's strategy, bringing in the reliever. These games have been so close, so then you get down to the little things that make such a big difference. And it's incredible to me just how this has played out. Every little thing has gone right for the Dodgers, never mind the fact that, you know, Freddie Freeman is just having an incredible postseason.
What do you think this is? Because we were talking about this earlier, that it looks like when you look at the dugout, the Yankee dugout, I mean, no one looks like they're in it. And early in the game, they looked like they knew they were going to
lifeless.
Really? I didn't see it. Now, I didn't get that impression at all. I really didn't get that impression. I just think they were, you know, they're feeling the pressure. They're concerned. They're at home. Huge crowd last night, all standing around in the in the upper deck, walking around. I didn't get the feeling they were lifeless. But when you're down 2-0 in the first inning and the same guy kicks your butt, has been kicking it for the last, you know, two games, that's going to definitely take a little bump out of your step. And it took the crowd out of the game right away. The big thing about home field advantage, at least early, you know, is you've got that home crowd to
the energy,
the other team out of the game.
Right.
Now, I didn't think they were lifeless until the first inning when the guy gives up the 2-run home run.
That's the first inning.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. Like, if you got to expect in the World Series, the opposing team is going to score some runs. You can't let that beat you. One swing, they were beaten.
We were looking for Joe Zone Channel 3, Sports On. We were looking for someone in that dugout to pump these guys up.
Yeah.
There's no one there. There's no Derek Jeter. There's no one to do that.
Well, I mean, I think Soto brings you a lot of energy. Chase brings a lot of energy. But again, you're in front of your home crowd. You're fired up, and boom, first inning, you're down 2-0. I don't have the ability to turn that, you know, up when you're all of a sudden you're facing a big deficit. You know, but big. It's big in this series because the Yankees don't score runs. And I was coming back from the the event we had last night, that Dress for Success, I'm listening on the radio. I heard the crowd go from ecstatic to dead silent in like, you know, one swing, just like that. And the crowd's energy gone, and then the player's energy is gone, just like that.
Right.
Well, two runs might as well be 10 runs with the way they're playing. It doesn't matter.
That's right. That's right.
And we're losing in the entertainment division as well. Yeah. I mean, Ice Cube to Fat Joe.
Not great.
Well, if you listen again to the pregame show on radio, it's annoying.
I heard they took it out of the MLB TV replay. Fat Joe is entirely cut out of the replay of the game if you go and watch it back.
Is that right?
Yeah. They knew it was so bad, they just MLB TV edited it out.
It wasn't good.
I don't know why they need so much entertainment. Can we just play the games? I mean, the pregame shows are long enough. I realize, you know, that there's a lot of TV money and advertising dollars involved, but just, you know, just get going and let's play baseball. You know, it's November.
Right.
Well,
what do you think the chances are of a win tonight?
Well, again, Heel has been great. So the Dodgers, they're starting, the rookie Heel had a pretty good season. The Dodgers have their bullpen game tonight, which means they're going to use four or five different guys for a couple of innings each. The only good thing about that is the Yankees have seen all of those relievers, you know, in the last three games, so at least they're going to have an idea of what's coming. But, you know, it's hard to rally. You can't think about it as four games. You got to play tonight, and then if you win tonight, you have one more at home, and that's the only way you can look at it right now. I mean, look at the – yeah, I think they'll win tonight.
That would be great.
Dodgers could be let down a little bit just because it'd be fun. It would be fun to celebrate in their own park, you know. But they're not gonna take the foot off the gas. I guarantee you that.
No, that'd be nice. And I'll tell you what, that crowd, if they win tonight, it's gonna sound like they want it all, because it's gonna be that tension just explodes.
That, and you just know this team. Like once they start getting confidence, like they can roll. They can win four games in a row. They can do it. They've done it before. Like, you can see that happening.
Yeah. But it's the confidence that you said, like, they need that. They need that little spark to get there. And guy, like, Judge is disappointing me as a leader and as a player right now because he's not bringing that spark.
Joe Zone, Channel 3 on the phone. Joe, when you're watching a game, does your wife distract you?
Nah, she just steps in and out and says what's going on.
That's a yes. Isn't it? So I'm watching the World freaking Series. We're going to the game tonight, so I'm watching to see, like, what are we walking into? I'm very invested in this game. And my wife is pulling up TikTok saying, do you know that if you put in the search bar your name and the word poop, it will make a song for you? I'm like, hon, there's a man on base. We're at bat here.
Can you save that one for tonight when I'm watching the news or something?
Yeah.
Really?
Sure, listen.
Jennifer.
It's my wife's name.
Jennifer.
So this is what I'm dealing with while the game is on.
Jennifer.
This is what I have to deal with. Yeah, I'm like, wait, what just happened? Wait, turn the phone off.
Gleyber Torres was pooping? What happened?
You don't have a man cave in that place where you watch the game?
I don't.
Well, there's the key. You know, it's always worked for me, especially watching the Giants was also fun. But during the commercials, going back to see that mess. If you scream and swear a lot during the games, I find that tends to keep people away from you during the entire event.
That's good. That's a good one. All right, Joe.
What's wrong with you, I guess?
I hope, I hope we're all in good moods tomorrow.
Hey, I hope, look, if you're going to the game, I'd like to see you get a win, have something to cheer. The last thing you want to do tonight is watch them celebrate on your watch, believe me.
That's right. It's funny when they lost, when the Yanks lost Saturday night, it was, you saw all the Yankee fans leaving immediately. It was all Yankee fans. I was like, where'd all these Yankee fans come from? I didn't see them, but we're all marching out together. So hopefully that doesn't happen tonight. Joe Zone, Channel 3. Thank you, sir.
All right. Have a great day. Enjoy the game.
Thank you. Okay. AJ is out. He'll be back tomorrow. How about them Yankees?
Oh. Terrible.
Terrible.
We waited 15 years for this chance. 15 years.
15 years. At least they're there. I was thinking about that.
I keep saying that to myself, too.
On the way in, I was thinking, you know, I'm going to probably get razzed today and maybe tomorrow. And I have to say, they're still in their uniforms.
There's only two teams doing that.
Yeah.
Yankee Stadium lights will be on tonight, you know, and people will be buying beer and buying food and watching a baseball game. So there's that. And that's the cool thing.
At least one team will be playing baseball.
Judging
by last night.
Yeah. Yeah, bananas. And when Fat Joe came out, I'm like, oh my God, is this all we can do? I couldn't wait. Because I was like, well, they have Ice Cube. But man, we're in New York. This is New York.
Yeah. You'd think the center of entertainment, everything, you'd have somebody out. Even like Lin-Manuel Miranda, like have a Broadway guy. Do something. Like, I don't know.
Well, they had one of the guys from Hamilton come out and do the national anthem. I thought he did great. Mm. But yeah, they didn't hit it out of the park with Fat Joe.
Right.
Like, except when he swore on the mic. That was the most New York part of it.
Who do you think they could have gotten?
Jay-Z's come up a lot. I think he would have been great.
Jay-Z.
Yeah, he's an obvious hit.
Right. Already done.
Yeah.
But still.
But yeah.
I'm all right with that.
There's nothing better than like Jay-Z and Alicia Keys doing New York.
Oh.
She's in those purple boots.
They're like, awesome together. It's awesome.
Oh, damn. I get chills just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Years and years and years later. Who else does
the Beastie Boys?
No, like they don't do anything anymore.
But if you brought the two remaining Beastie Boys out, that would be like a big pop, maybe.
That would have been better than Fat Joe.
Like, if they did No Sleep Till Brooklyn, like, if they just came out and they're like,
do Brooklyn, because that's where the Dodgers come from, you
South
goofball.
Bronx, South Bronx. I don't know. There's a couple songs that could be done.
All right. Mm. Who else?
I mean, Billy Joel just to sing, even?
Oh, Billy Joel would be a good one.
Is he a Mets fan? I know he's got, like, a lot of attachment to the old Shea.
That could be it.
I don't know.
But he's got a line in his song, and the Yankees get the headlines. Billy Joel.
Lady Gaga's from New York.
It would have been better.
Lady Gaga!
Yeah. She's done the Super Bowl. She can handle Game 3 of the World Series.
For sure.
Yeah.
And her costume would be great, you know.
Madonna would look too much like Halloween. Like, that face, man, scares me.
Yeah, you can put her out on the lawn.
Her face is worse than that doll that was sitting in there. It's creepier.
They just keep pulling the skin back over the years. They just tighten the ratchets up.
They've done this before. Just let Bernie Williams come out and play guitar, even.
He did it at the Nets game, like, two nights ago.
Bernie is unbelievably talented.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. There's some good juju there, too, with, like, some championships on the field with him. Like, I felt like that could have been great.
I thought that Ice Cube thing was so cool.
It was very cool.
As soon as that happened, I was like, well, this was worth the price of admission right here. I thought, well, New York, man, we got rappers.
They didn't elevate
the rappers.
LL Cool J. Rock the Bells. LL Cool J could have been a good one. Like, there's a lot of New York rappers and musicians.
LL Cool J from New York?
Yeah, I was just pulling up a list because I thought so, and LL Cool J's from New York.
I don't know why I think of him from L.A. He's in that stupid cop show.
I do, too, but he was, Rock
the Bells.
Isn't
that an L.A.-based cop show?
Yes. Yeah. So I had the same thing, and that's why I Googled, because I was like, I think LL Cool J is like...
Chaz and AJ.
Hey, what happened to the Fox, man? How come it's WICC now? I can't get you guys when I go to New York.
Yeah, no, I know. I don't know.
You can't download the app.
Don't ask me.
Yep, WPLR.com.
Yeah, use the app, please. Thank you.
Maybe 50 Cent?
50 was
No, he is a total wild card. He'd be great, but if we thought Fat Joe was swearing on the mic.
Is 50 Cent from New York?
Yeah.
Boy, that would have been better.
Yeah, and he lived in... was it Tyson's old place in Farmington?
I think he's specifically Queens, though. He might be exclusively a Mets guy.
Jeez. Yeah. I always forget the Mets are a team up until like they actually do well.
they were one of the last
that's
four.
The thing. Like, they're the only, but that's it. This is then I don't think about them for another 10 years until they hit the playoffs again.
Ashley Baylor, News 8. Any thoughts on who the Yankees could have had last night?
Literally anybody else.
Yeah. It was an odd choice.
Yeah, it really was. I'm not a Fat Joe fan in any capacity, so I'm like, this is a bit of a swing and a miss, yeah.
And then it didn't even, it almost felt like it wasn't syncing up correctly. There were parts of it, I'm like, this doesn't feel right now. I'm not following this.
I think maybe he, I don't know if he thought he was lip syncing or what. Like, he was off.
Yikes.
Could have been.
Well, you know what? Even Ashley Baylor, like, if you take Ashley Baylor's performance from the Monsters Ball, that would have been better than Fat Joe.
Well, I want to see her do Fat Joe, her rap Fat Joe song, that all the way up. Can you?
Oh, no.
Thanks
I
for
don't
saying
even
rap.
Know the lyrics to any of it.
Okay, here's Ashley Baylor on stage at the Monsters Ball.
And before we go, Ashley Baylor from News 8. She's going to do her famous heavy metal scream. Talk to her why.
That was an oversell, but...
Yeah! I'm going to try it.
Boy, that door needs WD-40, huh?
I never claim to be professional at this. So.
Yeah, who taught you that? It was someone who taught someone famous, right?
Yeah, Melissa Cross. She's known as the Queen of Scream. I just did one story with her, and, you know, with her sitting there with me, telling me what to do, and, you know, it's a little different than me getting up by myself and trying to do it again, but it's all in good fun.
It was great.
It was awesome. And who did she teach how to scream?
Oh, she's taught David Draymond of Disturbed. She's taught Corey Taylor of Slipknot, the Butcher Babies.
We just had one of them in the studio. It's a little doll.
Yeah, so she's taught, and she was actually the person, it was Killswitch Engage that was recording an album in Connecticut, and she came in and started helping them out because I guess they were coughing up blood or something like that. That's the story she told me.
Wow.
So I said, oh boy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's rough.
I mean, it's a talent. It's really a talent to be able to do those screams.
To do it once is amazing.
Yeah.
To do it multiple times every night for many nights.
Over years.
And not have your throat bleed. Yeah.
Right. And be able to speak normally after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me real quick about this Brass City Rescue Alliance.
Well, you know, it's so heartbreaking how many stories we've had to hear recently of people abandoning their animals, wanting to surrender their animals. And whether it's a rescue or a shelter, they're all bursting at the seams at this point. But just yesterday, the day before, actually, I saw this post from Brass City Alliance out of Waterbury, and they're a wonderful rescue organization. And I think they're just so desperate to find their dogs good homes that they actually waived the adoption fees. And normally, adoption fees for dogs are about $450, and it goes, you know, back to the rescue so they can do the wonderful things that they do. They waived those fees completely in just hopes of finding these dogs a home. Not one person came to even visit the dogs. That's how sad it is.
That's brutal.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, they come to me because they know I'm a big animal advocate, and Ruth, of course, is a big animal advocate as well. And I almost feel helpless because they come to me hoping, can you get the word out? Can you help us? And as much as I can get the word out and help the best I can, I still feel like I'm falling incredibly short. And I can't imagine what it's like to be these organizations, and they literally field 30 to 40 calls per day wanting to give up their animals.
Up 30 to 40 a day.
Per day.
It's heartbreaking.
Is this still a fallout from COVID?
I don't think it's just that. I think that was the initial thought, you know, in probably 2021, 2022, that was the thought is, okay, these are the people that adopted during COVID. They're all going back to work. So now they realize they can't take care of these animals. But for me, it's something else. I think because veterinary care, the price of it has just skyrocketed.
It is.
Yeah.
The price of food has skyrocketed. People just can't afford to take care of their animals anymore. And so when they call up these shelters, they do the best they can, said, hey, there's a pet food pantry here. Here's where you can go get free food. Here's where there's medical care to bring your animal. Laura Bourbon, I was talking to her about this. She's, the lead ACO at the Dan Cosgrove Animal Shelter in Brantford. Absolutely wonderful person, does everything she can. She said years ago that she suggested a collaboration with the state's largest helpline, that there needs to be a hub for people who need help with their animals, whether they need to find a pet food pantry, whether they need emergency medicine, here's where the nearest veterinarian is, whether they're in a domestic violence situation. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of stories I've covered where people leave their animals behind because they're in a domestic violence situation, and they unfortunately have to live with that guilt, too.
Ashley Baylor, News 8 on the show, and we're going to link up on the radio station website, WPLR.com. And we're looking for people who are looking for dogs, looking for pets. And as bad as it is to get these phone calls of, like, hey, I need to give you my animal. Mm. I'd rather have that than hear some of these stories where they just leave them tied somewhere.
100%.
Yeah. Also, at least they're doing the right thing and calling and you know, dropping them off at a responsible place.
Yeah, that's not to discourage that. If you can't care for the animal, that's the way to do it.
Right. And there's no shame in admitting it.
Yes. Right. Right.
Don't just drop them in a cage outside. Yeah.
So. There's tons of that going on. You remember the post down in Florida before Hurricane Milton,
the dog to the fence
that pulled over?
Was in the flood water.
Awful. I tell you, one of the most heartbreaking things I've ever said on air, and this is going 18 years, I've been doing this for 18 years, and I was covering a hurricane down in Virginia, and I said, whatever you do, if you have to leave your animal behind, not that I would hope no one has to, but if you choose to leave your animal behind, I said, whatever you do, do not tie them to anything. Just let them go so they have a chance to survive. And I can't tell you how much it broke my heart to even have to say that on air.
That's a tough thing to say. It's tough. So, all right. Well, thanks for the good work you do. Thanks for coming out to the Monsters Ball, by the way. Your husband's pretty cool. I like him.
A trip, isn't he?
He's
a good time.
Yeah. And did you get a chance to talk to the tribe?
The tribe.
You know, our group of
Oh yes. I'm like, who are they talking to? yes, I did. I'm thrilled that I got to actually put a face to everybody.
I didn't even recognize you for like the first 20 seconds we were talking.
I know, he tells me, they're like, okay, who's this weirdo with the glasses? There's no lenses in the glasses, so she really needs help.
First hint, yeah.
So, all right, Ashley Baylor, thank you.
Of course. Take care, guys.
All right, Ashley Baylor, News 8.
Stump the Chumps.
General knowledge trivia question. Stump us with one, and you get in the running to see the Dropkick Murphys. Jeremy and Vernon.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
Hey, how you doing?
All right. So, my question today, trick-or-treating is derived from an ancient tradition known as what?
Federal income tax.
Begging. Grubbing. Mooching. Trick-or-treating. Remember that by me again?
So, trick-or-treat is derived from what ancient tradition?
I don't know. Halloween has something to do with the satanic stuff, right?
I don't think so. I think it started in Ireland.
It's like warding off spirits or something.
I think it's that.
Like maybe leaving like a sacrifice out?
Mm. What's the answer?
I don't know.
So, it's from a tradition called souling, where children would ask for food or money in exchange for prayers of the souls of the dead.
Like I said, grubbing. All right. You're in the running. Yeah. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Craig in East Haven.
Morning, guys.
Hey.
Bordering three oceans, which country has the longest coastline?
Three oceans.
That's got to be like Honduras or Panama or something Central America, right? Because there's all that stuff.
I think that would still only be two.
Yeah.
Oh. We have two?
Maybe Egypt?
What about Alaska? Is there anything up there?
That's Pacific.
Oh, because Alaska.
Could it be? I don't think they reached the Arctic.
It's probably something dinky.
Would it be something more towards like the Italy, Sicily, Egypt, you know, top of Africa thing? Because then there's like the Mediterranean and, I don't know.
Indonesia.
Hey, coastline country.
What do you think, Phil?
Indonesia. I don't know. That's
all right,
wrong.
We're going with that. Craig?
Indonesia? All right. I Googled this, but it's Canada.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Canada's got a big landmass, but a low population. That's
they definitely
thing.
Get Atlantic and Pacific, so I guess they could reach the Arctic
Craig?
As well.
Craig.
Craig.
Poop. All right, thank you, Craig. And you're in the running. Nice job. Ed in East Haven.
Ed.
Poop. 3, 2. Goodbye, Ed. Joel, Boston.
How you doing? What in miles, the approximate circumference of the Earth?
I don't know. Ask Superman.
I used to know this stuff.
I don't think I ever knew that in miles.
Like what do I look like, a tape measure?
I carry a kazoo with me everywhere. 25,000 miles.
Oh, poop, 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 poop,
I carry a kazoo too.
My poop song is so
hi, Joel. Thank you. Dan in Guilford.
Good morning.
General knowledge.
What year did Ford introduce the Thunderbird?
Oh, where's AJ?
Yeah, I know, right?
It's 55, 6, or 7.
I don't know.
Let me go with 56.
Okay, nope.
What is
it's
it?
55.
Ooh.
I was close.
You were right. Yeah.
Damn
you
it.
Were close.
Damn it. Damn it. Damn it.
AJ would have known that one.
Yeah, he would have. That's why I asked today.
Damn.
That's a smart guy.
Poop, 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 poop. Dan, poop. Poop, Dan. Thank you, Dan. Gary in Guilford, which sounds fake, but go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
So
Mouthpiece.
Yeah. There's a notch on the top of Connecticut that looks like Massachusetts stole it from us.
Yes.
What's the reason behind that?
Man, this was seventh grade history class, and it just went.
I don't think I ever learned this.
I just know that's where we used to go buy liquor on Sundays, because that in Connecticut you couldn't buy it, so you drive up to Mass and you go to the notch, and there was a little liquor store over the border.
Ah. All right, what's the answer?
Surveyor error.
Mouthpiece. Jason.
Surveyor error.
Surveyor.
Really? That is one hell of a screw up, man.
That's a big chunk.
You got it.
Really? I thought there was more to it.
Probably.
I thought there was a dispute, and then we had to give them that.
Yeah, that's not a very
piece.
Exciting answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more exciting if somebody messed up. Yeah.
I thought there was more to it, but okay, Gary, you're in the running. I'm going to look it up. Yeah. We'll verify, but you're in the running right now. Thank you. Jeff Monroe.
Hey, guys. Happy Taco Tuesday.
You're too happy.
Easy one.
Dial it down.
And this is going to blow your mind.
All right.
What's the most popular candy bar for Halloween?
In which state?
In all the United States. It's based on how many candy bars are sold. Blah,
Ruth,
blah,
you
blah,
just
blah,
printed
blah.
Out this story. What
I
was
feel
it?
Like, yeah.
I know we are Almond Joy, supposedly, by state, but I never believe that these lists are accurate.
And Reese's Cups went down.
Yes.
They were one, and then now
M&M's is number one on the national top 10.
Let's go with
so
that.
Saying
but that's not a candy
but
bar.
You're saying bar, right?
Yeah,
right?
You can say bar.
Yes, I'm saying candy bar.
Kit Kat.
Is it Nestle Crunch?
I don't know. I like a crunch. That's a good choice, though.
It's pretty, yeah.
Snickers.
I don't think it would have peanuts.
Too many allergies?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I would say Kit Kat or something plainer. Maybe Twix?
The Crunch was a good one, too.
Kit Kat.
Yeah.
Kit Kat.
Kit Kat.
Is that your answer?
Kit Kat. Yeah, final answer. Kit Kat.
No, believe it or not, it's still the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
I think
that's
you're
not
out
a bar.
It's not a bar.
That is not a candy bar.
If you, it's in the title. It's
get
a cup.
Out the friggin' phone.
It's a cup.
Moron.
Throw them out.
And if you want to say Reese's Nutrageous, we can allow that.
Yeah, he didn't talk into the headset, the mouthpiece, and
nothing.
He gave wrong.
Nothing. And he was humming the Jeopardy think music to mock us.
As if we knew we weren't thinking.
Who's mocking who now?
Fake Gary from Guilford. That was a fake name.
No, that was Jeff.
Oh, that was
no,
Jeff. Jeff. Oh, okay, that was Jeff. Yeah. Sorry, Gary. Jeff's a jerk. You're not a jerk.
Isn't that the worst?
Yeah, you're trying to remember a caller's name, and it's three callers ago?
Yeah. All right, so if we're not counting Jeff?
Nope.
Not
it's
a
not
candy
a bar.
It's not a bar.
Bar.
I'm sorry, Jay. It's not a bar.
Yeah, it's a cup.
You said candy bar. It's how you asked the question that screwed you here.
We clarified.
We did. That's why we didn't answer M&M's, which would have also been wrong, but it's why we didn't say that.
And by the way, it's not number one anymore.
I don't think so.
If he looked up the most, he Googled something.
I think he's out of date. I agree.
Recent.
Yeah.
Survey is it's number two.
Yep.
Most purchased Halloween candy.
Well, see what happens when you sound stupid for a while. When you get something right, you get really excited.
And defensive.
Sorry,
Jeff.